Church, today's scripture reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 20 through 33. See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way, and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessings will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornets ahead of you to drive the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possessions of land. I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to Mediterranean Sea and from desert to Euphrates River. I will give into your hands the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out before you. Do not make a covenant with them or with their gods. Do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me, because the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you.
So it's interesting, that last line, because the things of the people become a snare to you. And one of the things that God has just recently done for the Israelites in Exodus have released them from their snare, released them from their captivity. He's released them from what imprisoned them, that kept them from living the life that he desires for them. So in that mindset, what we see is God saying, I am going to provide for you. I am going to be with you. I am going to conquer your enemies for you. And I will perform and fulfill my promise to you. So going back to that song, do not fear. Do not fear. Well, like in life and oftentimes in the Bible, things are easier said than done, right? So when God says, do not fear, he's saying, if you really understood me fully, if you fully trusted me, that I would perform and do what I said I will do, and you didn't have to question how it was going to be done, if you just trusted me, even though you weren't sure how, you wouldn't fear. Isn't it interesting that it's the how of life that often brings fear? How am I going to get through this? What is the future going to do to me? Or maybe for me? And it's always what's ahead is what we fear. We tend not to fear what's past, because we know it, we see it, we've processed it. But what could the future hold? That's where the lack of trust comes. But God is trying to tell the people, I've demonstrated to you, I'm trustworthy. I am going to do what I say for you. And all he's telling them is, just remember what's happened in the past few months. I've delivered you from your captives. I've separated waters that this nation drowned in. I've gotten you to the other side of a place that you couldn't get on your own. I parted the seas for you. I've conquered those who are trying to conquer you. As we talked last week about this people who were going to try to destroy the Israelites on their way. And they're finally at Sinai. And they're afraid. Because they see the power and might of this awesome God on top of this mountain. And we talked last week about Moses telling the people, well, don't be afraid. You're not going to die. He's brought you here for life. But be afraid that if you decide to turn your back on this power, that this power isn't going to be there for your aid, for your assistance. This power will crush you. He doesn't want you crushed. He wants you alive and healthy and in relationship with Him. And when we listen to this passage of Scripture, the things that He's telling them, He says, listen. Listen to my angel. My name is in him. Listen. Because if we truly listen, then we'll truly have insight into who this God is. And we will gain a sense of peace. Not as much fear. I'm sure there would still be fear because the unknown always brings that. But there will be more peace than fear, hopefully, because this God has proven himself trustworthy. He says, and on your journey, don't worry about this land that you're going to. I'm going to drive the people out. And it's interesting in the passage of Scripture that we were looking at through Leviticus. One of the passages said, God says, the people in that land have become detestable. And if you remember, long time earlier times of Abraham, there was a king priest there called Melchizedek working with this people. And he tells Abraham, this is going to be your land. I'm still working with this people, but there's going to come a time when they're just going to totally abandon my word, my will, my man, Melchizedek. They're going to abandon him. And then you're going to come in and... You ever have that feeling, you know, it's flu season now, right? You have ever had that upset, queasy feeling in your stomach? You know, our bodies are amazing things. Do you realize how amazing our body is that when we ingest something that is toxic to our body, there's something our body wants to do with it. What is it? Get rid of it. To reject it. To get it out. And it's interesting, the terminology that's used in Leviticus, God says, not only are the people defiled, their defilement has defiled the ground. We're going, well, that's weird. But that just goes to show that when we turn our back on God, that it just doesn't affect us. It affects things around us. And he says, this ground has even become defiled. And he says, I'm going to vomit the people out. He says, and I'm going to bring you in. And this relationship that God has with this people is a relationship that he desires to have with us also. So he's calling us to listen, to worship, understand that our enemies will be driven out and the promises that he has given us will be fulfilled. But you know, journeys are hard, aren't they? You know, several years ago, Holly and I had gone to Ireland. I'd never been there, and the reason I wanted to go was because I was told through an aunt of my on my dad's side that our great, I think it was four, grandmother had come over from Donegal, Ireland. And on the trip, there's a news release that talks about how on the trip, she fell overboard. And usually, you're going across the ocean, you fall overboard, see ya. They got her back somehow. It doesn't report how, but in her obituary, it talks about how she had fallen overboard on this trip. And just learning more about, okay, our roots, where do I come from? What's at the core of me? Never been there, but, you know, I had someone there who was going to plan this trip. I mean, Holly started researching all this stuff, all these places to go, you know, what is it going to be like? She'd never been there either. reading stuff for people who have been there, reading stuff about people who actually live there, things to see, what to do, how to get there, how to get around. So it wasn't that we were going blind. It was getting information, what we needed to take this trip and have a sense of peace that, okay, we're going to get there, but boy, that flight, it's going to take a long time. And isn't it like humans? It's like, can't I just snap my finger and go from here to there? Isn't that what we want to do? We hate the journey. We just want to get to where we want to be and be done with it. But God says, no, it's in the journey, on the trip, where I mold and shape you to get you to where I want you to be. And on this trip, some of the funny things about it is even though we had this agenda and even though Holly knew exactly the places we were going to go, where we were going to stay, there were still surprises. First bed and breakfast, we're talking to the lady and she says, oh, tell me about you. And we said, well, we're going to be first going to be going up to the northwest side of Ireland. And oh, what you going to do there? And I'll tell her the story. Oh, what was the name? And we said, McGee. And she, oh, Protestants. I'm not in Kansas anymore. Protestants. So in the culture where your name kind of identifies who you are in this relationship to other people, it doesn't even make sense to me. But then I realize, okay, now we're going to take a journey and something else is strange. When we go to get in the car, I go to look, oh, that's the wheels on the other side. And it's a stick shift. So you're shifting with the other hand. And you're driving on the other side. So all these things have changed. Oh, this is so different. But once you start doing it, it's like, okay, I can handle this until you get in a tight situation. Until you get in a situation where, oh, traffic, how do I get out of a dangerous situation? Well, all of us, when we're in a dangerous situation on the road, we will go right to kind of get onto the shoulder to get away from the oncoming traffic. That's not where you go in Ireland. Because you're going into danger if you go right. It's like, oh, I've got to relearn this. So when I get kind of afraid of what's going on and I'm not sure what the traffic's going to be like, go left, go left, go left. And it's a fighting of that habit. Right? And isn't that the way life is? These habits that we've built over time on this journey, when things get tough, we can naturally just do what we're used to. Which will actually oftentimes can put us in greater danger. We have to learn a new way of handling these things. And God says, I've got the way. We just have to trust it. But sometimes it's hard. And when it's hard, we go, well, can't I just do it the easy way? Because that's what I know. And he says, but that's what's gotten you into the situation you're in. He says, this relationship that I have with you, God's who and what motivates the people's why. Who God is, what God is, motivates why they're going on this journey, why they would want to do it any differently. And it should motivate us too. These people, he says, you're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're not what you used to be. You're not even what you think you are anymore if you're my people. And that's difficult for us because we have to accept this new reality. And I've been hitting on this for the past several weeks because I think in my own mind, I really got to get a grip on this of who I am before my God so that I can live into that truth rather than living into the lie of the things that I've told myself, that the meaninglessness of who I am. And God says, you're not meaningless. You're meaning-filled because I give you meaning. I give you purpose. You're royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're different. I'm calling you to be different. But he knows that in that process, in that journey, sometimes we're going to fall back into old patterns. But this new relationship identifies who I am now before my God, how my God identifies me. And that is most important. Because if I understand how God sees me and live into that truth, I'm better equipped and able to live with you in a way that is meaningful. And then I don't have to fear because I know clearly who God calls me. And if you call me something else, I don't have to fear that either. That's just your opinion. But when my God tells me who I am, that is fact. It identifies what we are to do. He says, be a holy nation. Be set apart. Feed on me. I will feed you. Identify why you're going to do it. So why would we want to take this journey with God? Why would the Israelites want to leave Egypt and go to a land of promise? Well, it's basically because of the title. It's a land of promise. It's different. It's better. It's something that is going to satisfy in a way we can't even understand. But because we can't understand it, that is a tool that Satan will use to try to get us to become frustrated. And say, yeah, but I like the normal. I like the comfortable. And God says, no, trust me. And that song that we sang, each step I take leads me closer home. Each step I take. That's all you've got, folks, is each step you take. You don't have tomorrow yet. You have today. And do you realize the step you take today leads to the step you can take tomorrow? But if you're making missteps today, what's that going to lead to tomorrow? Well, you're going to have to do a lot of work to get back to where you need to be. Or you're going to be further along than you ever imagined you could be. Because the steps that you're taking, you're allowing God to direct. We're listening. Now, I don't know if any of you are real adventurers. Anybody who would like to see what they're really made of. That scares me a little bit because I'm afraid to know what I'm made of. Because of my old talk about me, I don't think I'm made of much. But because God knows me, he says, I will put you through some situations and because I know who you are. And I'm going to put you through these situations so you know who you are. So that you know what I'm doing for you and what I can be with you. There's this guy. Does this guy look familiar? Who knows this guy? Bear Grylls. What's he about? What's that? He's a survivalist. He was in the English special ops. And because of that, you know, he just loves the challenges of going places, doing things, and just surviving. And it's interesting that people will want to go along with him on these things, and he'll take them just to see what you're made of. And these people go, yeah, I want to see what I'm made of. Can I rappel down a cliff that's hundreds of feet to the bottom and trusting that this line is going to hold me, trusting myself that I'm not going to mess it up, that I'm going to get to the bottom? Here he is holding on to the rail of a helicopter. He's got a parachute on. You see that little island beneath him. No thanks. But to do something like that, you one have to trust what's on your back and trust yourself, the one who's told you how you're going to be able to survive this. And when people go with him, they've got to listen to him because he's the one that's going to make sure that they get to the other end alive. And sometimes you have to eat stuff you might not want to eat. Right? Sometimes life isn't going to be pleasant. But one of the things that he says about this protein, he says it's protein that's going to keep you alive. And there's times he'll eat this stuff and he'll go, ugh, that's the worst thing I've ever tasted. But what's the purpose? Survival, life. Sometimes we're going to be in situations where we're not going to like it. God says you might have to embrace something or ingest something or do something that you just don't like. But it's going to bring life. Trust me. And with Bear Grylls, that's, man, a hard thing to do. But what God says in Exodus, he says, I'm going to put my name on my angel that's going to lead you. When Jesus comes, he says, I have come in my Father's name. And you do not accept me, but if someone else comes in their own name, you'll accept him. Which is interesting. Here is Jesus saying, I'm coming in the name of the Father. He bears the name. He embodies the Spirit of God. And like the people of Israel, they're told, I'm going to give you an angel who will lead you to the promised land. I'm going to give you an angel who will guide you in those most difficult moments. But trust him, listen to him, and in doing so, worship me. Because I'm providing for you. Jesus tells them, follow me. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. That's a promise that Jesus is making to us, that when we, as scared little sheep, aren't sure when the next meal's coming, when we're scared little sheep and the wolves are crying out, that we can trust this shepherd, that he's not just going to say, well, you're just one of many. I've got all these. He's going to do what it takes to put his life in the midst, in the middle of the attack. And we can trust that name. We can trust that shepherd. And later on, he says, and my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. The interesting thing about that is that God doesn't have a death grip on us that we can't wiggle out. God says, I will keep you safe in the palm of my hand, but if you want to leave, I'm not going to hold you tight so that you can't. And the Israelites realized that too. And every time they did that, they would take a step further off of the path, further away from their guide, their messenger, the angel that was going to lead them to the promised land. And Jesus says, I don't want you to do that because you think all this other stuff is going to care for you and feed you. But you're not going to be in safe pasture without me. You're going to be in grave danger. You need to trust where I'm leading you. So this God who calls us into this relationship says we need to listen. When I was really young and I was with my brothers, and I told this story before, we went to Woolworths and we were getting turtle food. And of course, the little kids said, let me hold the turtle food. So they get shut up here. Take the turtle food. So I was happy. They went to the toy section. Oh, even better. I got the turtle food in hand. I'm looking at the toys, and my friends and their buddies are milling around looking at things. And all of a sudden, my hearing got dull because I was so focused on the thing that was right in front of me, the thing that I thought was going to satisfy me. If I could just have this thing. All of a sudden, when the distraction was over, I look around. I'm alone. Isn't that what happens in life with God? Is that he continues to say, yeah, I'm with you. I'll provide for you. But as soon as we start getting overly enamored with the things of this world, he keeps moving on in the journey. And all of a sudden we're like, where'd he go? We have to listen. We have to be so in tune with what God is doing in our life that we don't find ourselves wondering, God, why'd you leave me? And the response would be, you stop listening to me. Don't stop listening. Because when we stop listening, we put ourselves in grave danger of being alone. The nice thing was, I knew the way back home. But on this journey of life with God, Jesus knows it. And I can't do it without him because he is the way home. Why worship the I Am? Because who God is. Okay, compare what God has just done. He's frightened the pants off these people. God is speaking to them about the law, how I want you to relate to me, how I want you to relate to one another. And they're going, Moses, we don't want to hear straight from God anymore. We'll die. You just tell us. We need distance. And that's when Moses says, don't fear. Don't fear the power of this God. This power of God is on your side. But fear if you don't want to listen. Why worship this God? Because he has just freed them from their captivity. Why listen to this God? It's because when they were hungry, he fed them. Why listen to this God? Because when they were thirsty, he gave them something to drink out of a rock. Why trust this God? Why worship this God? Because he says, I will provide for you. The problem is when we sit back and go, but God, you're not doing it the way I really want you to. Then we start to wonder, does he really have my interest at heart? He does. We tend not to so much. We just want what we want when we want it. We worship him because of what he has done. He's redeemed us. He sends Jesus to save us. Jesus goes to the cross to forgive us. And this idea of he's with these people, he says, you listen to me and I will not pardon you. Ooh, that's tough stuff. He's not just going to say, oh, it's okay, just do what you want. Because in doing that, he goes, no, you're eating poison. And I'm not going to just pardon that. You will have consequences in your life when you eat poison. You will get sick. You will struggle. But what he says, but I will not abandon you if you follow. Because I know you're going to get sick. But what God does, he does not pardon their sin. He substitutes for it a lamb, a bull, a man in human form sent from God. That he atones for our sin. He doesn't pardon it. And it's in that atonement, then we go, why should I worship this God? Why should I follow this Jesus? Oh, yeah. Because if it weren't for him, I'd be lost. If it weren't for him, I'd be sick. Spiritually sick. And God knows that we're going to be physically sick, but what Jesus has done is given us spiritual health. And every one of the Israelites became physically sick and died. But what God wants most of all is your spiritual health, because it's in your spiritual health that relates to eternal life with him. So we worship him because of what he has done. So then when these people are worshiping before God, he says, how does God define worship? He's not going to talk about how it's done. Right? And a lot of times we might think, well, I like that worship better than this worship. But one of the things we're not seeing here is God isn't addressing that how you do it is more meaningful to me. Oftentimes we get in those conversations because how we do it is more meaningful to me. But God says, okay, now who are you worshiping here? How we do it doesn't matter when it's he who we're worshiping. If we're doing it a way that brings him honor and glory. But when we start thinking that what's most important is how it affects me. It's like, that's not the point of worship. All of a sudden, I've gone from worshiping God to worshiping me. When it's about how it affects me. Because the people right there, he told them at that mountain, they were full of fear. And he didn't say, well, you've got Moses. He's a great speaker, isn't he? Isn't Moses great? And they're like, yeah, but you're just overpowering God. He says, trust me. Jesus tells about how he will cleanse us. In Matthew chapter 12, it's very interesting that it starts off talking about Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, that he is God's chosen servant. And they start questioning him whether he's the son of God or the son of Satan. And he says, they say, give us a sign. And he says, I'll only give you the sign of Jonah. He says, but the people who cleanse themselves have to fill themselves. He says, I've come to redeem you, to clean up your room. He says, an impure spirit comes out of a person and it goes to an arid place seeking rest, but doesn't find it. Then it says, I will return to the house that I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, put in order. Then it goes and takes up seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of the person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. His point is if you allow me to clean up house, you've got to let me to live there. I need to take up residency there. But if you leave it empty, another spirit will come. So are we allowing the Spirit of God to fill us, to guide us in this journey? And on this promise of God, he says, I will lead you home. In John chapter 14, Jesus comes to them. He says, I'm going away, but you know the way. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And this is one of those things where I just wonder if Jesus just, this is what I would do. I would go, ugh. Unfortunately, when I think about this more and more, I'm like Thomas. Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm life. And no one comes to the Father except through me, because I am the way. And I will tell you the truth, and I will provide you life. So follow me. Listen to me. He says, and if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him because you've seen me, Thomas. And he says, and if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, be with you forever. Doesn't it ring of what we're reading in Exodus? This messenger sending another messenger to lead and to guide, to fill and direct. And this spirit is of truth, and the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you. He will be with you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus says, I'm going away, but I'm going to return. And that's his journey. And on our journey to that end, when he returns, he will take us to the land of promise. So how are we doing on that way? How are we doing on that journey? For the people who realize that they killed the source of the truth, the source of the way, the source of life, they asked him, we killed the Messiah. What can we do? He says, repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises for you, for your children, for all who are far off, for all who the Lord will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. See, this is part of the relationship. God says, here I am. I came. Jesus has come to allow our washing, our rejuvenation, our regeneration. He says, but now I wait for your decision. Will you come? Will you repent? Will you submit to the water of baptism? Will you allow me to guide you on your way and trust me more than yourself? And Paul tells the people, when he says, this is how you're to live among the people. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you've been sealed for the day of redemption. We're sealed, folks. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Where God says, I see you, I see that stamp in your mind. Live that reality. Don't do the things that grieve that spirit. Don't start doing the things that you used to do. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling, and slander, along with every kind of malice. Be right with others. As long as it's up to you, live at peace with one another. But that's hard. That means we have to speak to one another, engage one another, love one another. And when we trust God, we don't have to fear that process. But when we don't trust God, we fear that it might go badly. But he says, trust me. Will we trust that in Christ alone, he will show us the way? In Christ alone, we have his truth. In Christ alone, he will feed our every need unto salvation. He is the Lord, our God. So what's supposed to motivate their life and our life? This God who will redeem them from their own sin. It's not how well they get along with one another. It's not how great of a speaker Moses is. And it's not the excitement that takes place when they're gathered for worship. It's a focus on the one they are worshiping, which spawns that excitement that I can be in the presence of this all-powerful God, and He welcomes me into His presence, not because I deserve it, because He's paid atonement for me and welcomes me into it. They worship Yahweh by their obedience. So when you come here on Sunday, this is kind of worship. But when you are obedient to God, that is the fulfillment of what God says. Worship me. In every step you take, you worship me. In every conversation you have, you will worship me, because you're allowing me to inform you how to do it best. And in those difficult times and difficult situations, you will trust in me that it will be right, in spite of how it feels so wrong. But again, that's us going, the steering wheel's on the wrong side. And we have to trust that this God holds tomorrow in His hand. And He holds you in His hand today if you're His child. If you're not His child, find out how to be. Come find me. Let's have a conversation. But God wants you to be. And He doesn't want you to fear. He wants you to trust. And by His power, we can. Because His power overcomes the darkness. Let us stand and give this God our worship.
I don't